John chapter 8. We're continuing our series in John, and this morning, Lord willing, we'll finish out chapter 8. I'll begin reading in verse 31. We'll read down through verse 43. You'll remember, Jesus is teaching in the temple during the Feast of Tabernacles. We're picking up there in verse 31. Hear the word of the Lord. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing what your father did." They said to him, "We are not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your holy word, and we thank you for our time in the Gospel of John. We pray that this morning would be a blessing to your people, that you would give us ears to hear, and that set in the larger context of John's Gospel as the weeks and months go by, Lord, we pray that as a church you would grow us in our faith and our love for Jesus Christ. And we ask these things with expectation. We ask these things trusting the promises of your word and asking for the presence of your spirit. Lord, give us ears to hear. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We've noted that chapter 7 began John's account of the last year of Jesus' life. And at this point, tensions are really building. The sense of isolation, the sense of rejection is increasing. Things are rapidly moving toward his death. In fact, at the end of the chapter again this morning, the Pharisees are attempting to kill Jesus. It's been made clear multiple times now that they want him dead for blasphemy, but his time has not yet come. John reminds us time and time again that this is all going to unfold, but it's going to unfold according to God's sovereign plan that was established before the foundation of the earth. But that's the direction that things are moving. And despite being wanted and despite being under the threat of death, Jesus is standing here in the temple, and he's doing so during one of the busiest times of the year, the Feast of Tabernacles. And he's continuing to preach the straightforward message of the gospel and who he is and how one enters into the kingdom and who is in the kingdom and who is not. He's making very clear distinctions, making very bold claims. We saw last week the second of what are typically numbered as seven I am statements. There's actually more than seven, but the classic seven I am statements, the first one being, "I am the bread of life." The second one we saw last week, "I am the light of the world." And we talked about the unique Greek construction of that, the ego eimi, that is a very unique construction based on the name of God in the Old Testament, the Hebrew verb for I am. So we translate that I am, or I am who I am. That's the great name of God from Exodus chapter 3. It explains something about his nature, that he's self-existent and he's eternal. He's eternal from eternity past. He's eternal into the future. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. There's no doubt they understand exactly what Jesus is claiming to be. He is claiming to be God. This is a full-blown claim to deity. And they want to kill him for blasphemy. In fact, even said in verse 24 last week, or chapter 8, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am, ego eimi, you will die in your sins. So what we believe of Christ has eternal significance. That's the message that is continuing to be proclaimed by Christ. What you believe about Christ is of eternal significance. And on that day, verse 30, many people believed in him. Many people did believe in him as the I am. And so going into verse 31 of our passage this morning, Jesus turns his attention to the Jews who had believed. Look at verse 31. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, those who believed that he was the light of the world, and he said to these new believers, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So Jesus makes a very critical distinction right up front to these new converts, these new disciples, these new believers. A very critical distinction, and the distinction is between those who are true disciples and those who are false disciples. That's what he's dealing with in this passage. Those who are true disciples and those who are not. And he gives a necessary condition that will mark every true disciple of Jesus Christ. And that necessary condition is, if you abide in my word. The necessary condition that marks a true disciple of Christ is one who remains in the word of Christ, one who studies the word, one who obeys the word. You remember a few chapters back, there was a classic example of false disciples back in John chapter 6, Jesus' church shrinkage seminar. You know, these were disciples who followed Jesus for a period of time. They bought into what he was saying. They expressed some degree of trust, some degree of acceptance of his claims. And yet, you remember toward the end of chapter 6 when Jesus started speaking about the natural inability of people to come to him apart from the work of the Spirit, apart from a supernatural birth from above, all of a sudden thousands of them scattered. They agreed with things they heard up to a point, but then they bolted when he started to get to the heart of the matter. When he started to teach some of the hard things, that's when they left, and we saw very clearly that their discipleship was temporary, and therefore their discipleship was not genuine. Jesus is saying here to these new converts, there's a difference between a profession of faith and what is true saving faith. Those are not necessarily the same thing. A lot of people think that they can enter into the kingdom of God simply by making a profession of faith. That's nothing unfamiliar to us. This idea that I can walk the aisle, or I can sign the card, or I can raise my hand, or I can pray the prayer, and that will make me a Christian. Well, that's not necessarily the case. A lot of people had raised their hands. In John chapter 6, you may be a Christian, but that's not the test that Jesus is giving here. He doesn't say, if you raise my hand, you are truly my disciple. If you raise your hand, you're truly my disciple. There's more to it than that. He says the real test, the real condition is that of remaining and remaining in the Word. It's not just the profession of faith, but it's the possession of faith. And those are not always the same thing. Do you not only profess faith in Jesus Christ, but do you actually possess it? And Jesus says the way to know that, what demonstrates the true disciple, what distinguishes the true disciple from the false one, is the one who over the long haul remains and abides in the Word. That's the demarcation for the true disciple. And those who remain know the truth, and knowing the truth sets you free. Well, this is about like throwing gasoline on a fire with the Pharisees. They already want him dead. And now he's telling them how they can be set free, and they are absolutely incredulous at this. Verse 33, they answered him, "We are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" How in the world could someone suggest that the Pharisees were in some kind of slavery when they are Abraham's descendants? They have the pedigree. They have the bloodline. They can show the birth certificate and prove it. These are blood descendants of Abraham, and they are incredulous at the idea that Jesus would suggest to them that they are in some type of spiritual slavery. But Jesus' point is that we're not saved by human lineage. And again, that's not an unfamiliar idea to us today. I frequently hear comments along the lines of, "I'm from a Christian family. My parents were Christians. My father was a pastor. My grandparents were missionaries." Well, that's great. Bless God for the blessing of a Christian home. We emphasize that all the time, right? I mean, that's a very covenantal biblical idea. But don't slip into the danger of thinking that you can be born a Christian. No one is born a Christian. There is no category in the scriptures for being born a Christian. You cannot fall back on a pedigree. It doesn't matter how impressive one's human lineage is, salvation is not by biology. And they don't understand that. That's why Jesus said earlier to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." It's not the physical birth that matters in eternity. It's the spiritual birth. And so he explains to him the nature of their bondage. "You're slaves to sin." Verse 34, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin." That's a universal human condition. We are slaves to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. He's saying everyone who's a human being is born a sinner. And Jesus, and Jesus alone, is the one who can rescue you from that condition. I could not be more clear that everyone is a slave to sin, and the Son, verse 36, is the one who can set you free. We may think we're free, but the reality of the human condition is that we are actually slaves. We are born slaves. We're born slaves to sin. Now, we have the power to make choices, and we have the ability to make choices, and we have the desires to make choices, and we exercise our emotions and our volitions. We're not robots. We're not puppets. We exercise our wills to choose things. But Jesus is saying, as free as you may think you are, as free as you may think you are, the chains of slavery to sin affect your mind and affect your will and affect your heart and affect your emotions and affect your choices. And only Christ can set us free from that. He goes on in verse 37. He says, "I know that you are offspring of Abraham." That's physical offspring. "I know that you're blood descendants of Abraham. Yet, but you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." And of course, he's speaking here of the devil. You might be Abraham's children by natural birth, but what's more important than biology is your spiritual birth. And we'll know your spiritual birth by your actions. We'll know your spiritual birth, who's your spiritual father, by the things that you do. Well, they disagree with this. They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you're Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God." Look at these claims. Verse 38, "I speak of what I have seen with my father." Okay, speaking, that's a claim that he has been with the Father in heaven. Verse 40, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from my father. So he sees the father. He hears from the father. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing what your father did. See, he's peeling back the layers and revealing the ugliness of the human heart. You're doing what your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. That's an interesting line there. Apparently, this is a jab at Jesus' claim to be born from above. I think they're taking a shot, calling him a bastard, really. We have an earthly father. You don't, by your own testimony. Just a slanderous thing. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I am not of my own accord, but he sent me. And then he says in verse 43, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not of God. They don't listen because they can't. They don't obey because they can't. By nature, the whole idea of obeying the things of God is completely foreign to those who aren't in Christ. That's the point that he's making, that we're all enslaved to sin. And so he's saying to these Pharisees, don't tell me that you're children of Abraham. Because if you were children of Abraham, you would do the things that Abraham loved. And don't tell me that you're children of God. Because if you were children of God, you would love the things of God. But instead, when I look at you, what I see is you doing the things that the devil loves. And the things that the devil loves is dealing in lies and dealing in murder. And those are the very two things that they are pursuing in their attacks upon Christ. They're calling him a liar. They're rejecting his testimony. And they're seeking to kill him. They're seeking to murder him. And in lying about his character and in seeking to murder him and put him to death, he says, you truly betray who your father is. And it's not Abraham and it's not God. Your father is the devil. And again, the difference between a true disciple and a false disciple is abiding in the word. Verse 47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Well, things continue to escalate here. Verse 48, the Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Now they accuse him of being, it's a racist slur, and then they accuse him of having a demon to call him a Samaritan, and then they accuse him of having a demon. Jesus, very frankly, verse 49, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. He's just turning this concept in different ways. It's the same idea. Keep my word, abide in my word. How do you know the true disciple who is going to have eternal life? It's the one who abides in the word. It's the one who keeps the word. It's the one who hears the word. It's not the one who is a blood descendant of Abraham. Eternal life comes by hearing and abiding in the word. The Jews said to him, verse 52, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Completely clueless. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and I keep his word. How do we know Jesus is a true disciple? He keeps the word. And then look at verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Now notice he doesn't say, "Before Abraham was, I was." This is before Abraham was, ego a me, I am. He goes right back to Genesis 3, right back to the name revealed by Yahweh to Moses, and claims the name of Jehovah for himself. Before Abraham was born, I am the eternal, self-existent deity, the second person of the Trinity, and how they wanted to kill him again. Look at the very last verse there. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. His time had not yet come. The point Jesus is making is that disciples of Christ abide in his word, and those who abide in his word know the truth, and those who know the truth are set free from the bondage of sin. In contrast to that, you have the unregenerate who do not abide in the word, who do not listen to the word, who cannot hear the word, and they desire to do the works of the devil. And regardless of lineage, regardless of what has been suggested by others, regardless of any good works we bring to the table, regardless of the birth certificate that we hold in our hands, at the end of the day, a man is either a child of Satan or he is a child of God. And there could be no more pressing question to ask ourselves, as clearly as this contrast is presented here by Christ. Which are we? Which are you? A child of the devil or a child of the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father in heaven? Are you bound or are you free? Are you in bondage to Satan's desires? Are you abiding in the word and doing God's will and loving the Lord Jesus Christ? If you are, the word is finding a place in your heart and is changing you into Christ likeness. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray this morning that as we prepare to come to your table, that you would meet with your people. Lord, bring us into your presence as we feast upon these simple elements of bread and wine. Lord, may we feast upon you by faith. Lord, grow us through the preaching of the word and the sacrament of your table. Keep us safe, abiding in your word as your disciples. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. If the men would come.